Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth, or listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Monday on this 21st day of September 2020. I'm absolutely thrilled to have as my first guest today none other than Mike Lindell, the My Pillow guy. And Mike and I have something very important in common. We were both addicts rescued by the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ from our addictions. Mine happened to be booze, and a very seriously deadly level of consumption, and Mike Lindell's happened to be crack. And we're actually going to be discussing his autobiography, What Are the Odds from Crack Addict to CEO? And it's my honor and privilege to welcome for the very first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Mike Lindell.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Oh, thank you for having me on. For being on, I should say, brother. And I got to tell you, this book that you have written, this autobiography, has a very cool cover. Would you call that a hologram? Technology that they use to print the cover, where they have your face with a beaming smile after your salvation, switching back and forth to the hideous
frame. Right, that's not the salvation picture. The first picture is when I was up 14 days and my drug dealers did an intervention. So that's that picture. And I guess the second picture would be I was after my surrender days. So yeah. But yeah, it was, it's a hologram. And then on the back is also a hologram. When I was 7 years old, when my parents divorced, back when divorces weren't common. And then that manifests into me speaking it, in front of 20,000 people, which, there's no way that I ever thought that I could speak in front of three people, much less that many.
Yeah, well, praise God that you have written this book. In fact, I think it is so admirable, not only that you wrote this book, because some CEOs might be terrified at the notion of making something like your past a public, making it public knowledge, because they would fear it might harm their business in some way. In fact, even your Christian faith and your stance with the pro-life movement is putting that at risk to a degree. But it's funny, my friend, I first started to wonder if you were a Christian when the woman who led me to Christ, who watches Fox News regularly, as I do, she said to me, you know, I think that guy, the MyPillow guy, Mike Lindell, is a Christian. I said, why do you say that? And she said, well, every one of his commercials, he's wearing a cross that's sticking out of his shirt. And I said, that doesn't mean anything. I mean, even gang members have crosses around their neck. That doesn't mean a thing. And she said, yeah, but a guy who runs a company and is advertising in the mainstream media with a cross dangling around his neck, I think that he is trying to make the point that he's a Christian. And I said, okay, whatever you say. And then sure enough, I found out that you are indeed a brother in Christ, a born-again believer. And let's start with your childhood, what kind of upbringing you had, what kind of religious atmosphere you were surrounded by, if any. And then, of course, we're going to hear about your tragic plunge into crack addiction.
Yeah, you got a lot there. By the way, here's a little teaser. When I wore my cross, it wasn't just on TV. I always wore it, but I wasn't completely saved yet.
I wanted
to believe in God. I believed in God, but I hadn't done a full surrender. I wasn't born again yet. And that comes on February 18th, 2017. So,
wow.
But anyway, we'll start back. When I was, when I wrote this book, I had to, I figured out a lot of things. It took me 7 years to write the book, but what it did, it goes back to when I was the oldest of my siblings, and my parents divorced when I was 7 years old. Now, this is very key because divorces weren't common then. In fact, my mom moved us to a new school in the town I still live in, and I was the only kid from a divorced family. So I was the only kid that did, I felt unworthy. I felt like I didn't fit in. I felt, all these lies that the devil put into me then, as I would either not talk to people that I didn't know, very shy with girls especially, or I would climb out, do things to show off, like climb out of a moving bus window and jump to show off, it was one or the other. And then when I graduated from high school, now I started, my mom, she remarried when I was like 9 or 10, and I had different churches, and I had some good roots planted, Bible study and stuff like that. And I'd go down to stay at my uncle's farm. We'd go to church on Sundays. So there was some good, I guess, roots planted then. But what happened then with this, when I graduated from high school, I dropped out of college after the first quarter. And by the time our 5-year reunion came along, I got there, and I'll never forget this. Everyone had been finishing college, and they had their careers, or they were heavy into their careers at the same job they had had, or they started started families, and I hadn't done anything. I was, I had worked at a drive-in movie theater and got fired at a grocery store, but I took over the reunion, and I started telling them about all my experiences. I owed the mafia $20,000, and they came to break my legs for betting on football.
Wow.
I had fell asleep on a motorcycle. On the day I was going skydiving on my sixth or ninth jump, I crashed my motorcycle because I was so tired. I fell asleep, crashed it, got back up, made it down to jump, did the jump, and my parachute didn't open, and that was a streamer, and all in the same day. So So I'm telling all my classmates, at that 5 reunion, all these things, they're going, wow, And that was my self-worth and that I had meant something. I just took over the reunion. But I got home that night, and I laid in bed, and a deep sadness came over me that I wanted what they had. And I just felt empty, that I wasn't where I should be in life. And I just, it was, about the 1983 or 84 then, I got introduced to cocaine, where that gave me, boy, that gave me a false courage. It masked any pain I had, things that had manifested inside, fear of rejection. Well, if you don't talk to people, you can't get rejected. And so I was very much if I wasn't high, I would be almost kind of introverted in a way. And if I didn't know yet, well, that cocaine changed all that. It masked the pain. It gave me false courage. It gave me all these, I do believe now that addictions all manifest, most manifest from things that happen in childhood, like fatherlessness, like a divorce. The families are all broken up nowadays, and so and they've taken God out of our schools. A lot of things have changed, but those things and trauma will manifest into the devil's lie inside. I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough, and all these things, and then addictions will mask that. But I was a very functioning cocaine addict, though, for all the way through the 1980s and 90s. I was always an entrepreneur, too. Very functioning addict. There's too many lies out there that addiction is only people in the street that are homeless. Now, addiction affects everybody, no matter how many forks you eat with. And I'm telling you that it's very widespread. And people are functioning, they're functioning addicts. And that's what I was. God handed me this, the wife of my dreams, and had four kids, and I had this family, and But still, I had this addiction, and still I was missing something.
Did they know it? Did your wife and children know that you had the addiction?
Oh, my wife was it. She was an addict, too. And but the kids did. We were very good at hiding, at least early on, at hiding the, functioning addicts. We owned a bar. We owned a bar, so it was very out in the open. And everybody in the bar circles we're with, everybody was what I would say an addict. And in one form or another. Well, but the neighbors would all send their kids over there. My wife would say, what do the neighbors think, because we'd be, they can't think too much when they send all their kids over, and we're making tents in the backyard, and I'm entertaining everybody, and they're feeling their safety of, but that was a different time and era, too, where people, but anyway, well, then it all changed to crack cocaine, which is not the same as cocaine, in around the year 2000. And there, it takes you down faster. There were more things that happened that developed then that we couldn't handle. Different addictions, you're being a functioning addict, but crack is a different type of drug where you get paranoid, you get, all these different things that happen. It's not a social drug. You don't see any crack addicts hanging around bars. They're usually at home peeking out windows. And we ended up having to sell the bar. We had these bars that at that time I thought it was devastating. And I look back now, of course it had to happen. But one of the things during that time when I had the bar, after the bars would close, we'd all go to my friend's house or somebody's house, and I'd be telling these guys about God and about the book of Revelation, the end times. I read about when I was in jail. Every time I go in jail, I'd read the Bible. So my friends, a lot of them, I'd be saying, you guys, these drugs are bad and we should quit. And they would quit and find the Lord, some of them. And I'd go, what did I say? I didn't even know what I said. I'm not friends here. So it was, and one of the things was is I would always, I still do it to this day. If I'm trying to convince myself of something, I'm convincing others, and in fact, I'm convincing myself at the same time. This kind of manifested years later when I was the only person on the phones taking calls for My Pillow, and I'd have some atheist or something on the phone going, "You wear your cross on TV? How dare you trying to sell pillows but trying to get me to believe in God?" and I would sit there and defend God and go and tell him all this proof or whatever. And telling him about these miracles, whatever. Well, they'd get saved, and I'd hang up the phone. There, take that. And I'm still not saved. How do you like that? There, now you believe in Jesus. Have a nice day. But anyway, I got this pillow idea from God in around 2004, and I spent about a year inventing and different ideas, and even the name My Pillow came to me in a dream, and I got up, wrote My Pillow all over the house, and my daughter comes upstairs to get a glass of water. She goes, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm going to bet this pillow, it's going to be called My Pillow. It's going to change the world." And she grabs her glass of water. She says, "That's pretty random, Dad." Went back down. But my one son and I, my youngest, we'd tear different foams every day and stuff flying around the neighborhoods. But at the same time, I got a parallel track of being a crack addict and gambling, compulsive gambler. I had it all, alcoholic, all these different things. But I put everything I had into this pillow, and when it finally came to fruition, I was turned down everywhere. Every box store, everywhere, is a complete shutout. And I ended up doing, they said, "Why don't you do a kiosk, Mike?" I said, "How do you spell that?" I do this kiosk, and that, I remember, I couldn't talk to people, so I was very uncomfortable. I only worked the kiosk one day, and my wife at the time worked it the other days. We didn't hardly sell any pillows, but the one day I was there, this guy sold him a pillow, and he asked me for a business card. I said, "Well, I'm all out," and I didn't have a business card. I mean, I wrote my number on a piece of paper. Now, that was the only day I was there where I was doing the selling, and now the kiosk was a failure. And we had to borrow money for the Christmas presents for the kids, and we get into January, and I was always an entrepreneur, so I didn't have a skill, so I couldn't get it. There's no way I could get a job to just go out and support a family. family of six, you know, basically. And all the money from the bar I had sold, all that was gone. It was penniless. Well, that guy called up and got that business card. He said, "Are you the guy that invented this pillow here in Minnesota?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, that pillow changed my life." And he said,
"Wow,
I run the Minneapolis Home and Garden Show. Would you like a spot in there?"
Wow. By the way, Mike, we have to go to a very quick station break, and we're going to pick up your story right when we return. It's going to be very quick.
Okay. No worries.
And hold on, folks, and we're going to be right back with Mike Lindell right after this message.
Have you been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? We remain on the air because of our faithful sponsors and because of listeners like you. There are four ways you can help. First, do you know potential sponsors who may wish to advertise their goods or services on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? Second, whenever possible, purchase the products or use the services that our sponsors advertise. And then let them know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Thirdly, you can also donate to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio by going to our website at ironsharpensironradio.com and click support at the top of the page. But most importantly, keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in your prayers. We hope that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio blesses you for many years to come.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World Now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnson, and our guest today for the first half hour with about 10 minutes to go or so is Mike Lindell, the My Pillow guy, and we're discussing his autobiography, What Are the Odds? From Crack Addict to CEO. And right before the break, Mike, you said you finally got the break that you needed with your pillow invention from a local entrepreneur in Minnesota. If you could pick up where you left off there.
Right. Well, it wasn't an entrepreneur. He ran the Minneapolis Home and Garden Show. So he ran a venue, and they do these home shows. So I went there then and said, okay, I said, I'm going to change my booth, and I put a table in front of me. So I wouldn't have to, like I say, I had a hard time talking to people, and you can't do a trade show high. So I would separate the two. I had this parallel track of an attic, and then I never broke trust with the shows for all them years. That's one thing I always kept as an attic. I kept my integrity. But anyway, I go to do this show, and the first day, all these people bought my pillows and go, wow, they are selling, because I'm now the one selling them, and then. One of the things, though, that happened is the next day, everyone that had bought at that show, let's say it was like 12 that had bought the first day, they all came back and paid to get back into the show to come and tell me how it had changed their life, how the pillow had changed their life.
Wow.
And it was amazing. Now, what that did to me, it wasn't about the money. It made me feel good inside that I had done something good, that my self-worth, that it was so bad, I felt good about myself, that I was helping people. So I got kind of hooked on that. That's why I did home shows and fairs for years. Now I went through it, but the parallel track of crack addiction, I ended up with a 20-year marriage gone, divorce in 2007. People were taking my company. By the time 2008 came, it was just my pillow was just a little heartbeat every once in a while that I would do a show, because I would not do a show if I was high, and since I was always high, the shows got fewer and fewer. Well, the drug dealers ended up doing an intervention on me in the spring of 2008. I came out, I was downtown Minneapolis, incidentally, right where all these riots were and all the stuff that got ruined. I came out of the room, I go, what are you guys doing? There was three of the biggest dealers in town, and they go, you've been up for 14 days, you're going to bed, and, we're not selling you anymore. And I said, what is this, an intervention? They said, call it whatever you want, Mike. Now, one of them left, the other one went down the street, got the word out. Well, the other one finally, by that time, you know, 2 hours later, I'm out of crack and I'm carpet farming. Anyone that's a crack addict knows what that is. I'm on my knees looking for pieces I might have dropped, and it's horrific. Well, then the other guy finally went to sleep, and I hit the streets of Minneapolis, and I couldn't get crack anywhere. Nobody would sell to me. And I came back upstairs, and here's what he said. He goes, how'd that work out for you? It's like 3 in the morning now. He goes, I said, I was so upset. He goes, give me your phone. I'm going to take a picture, and you're going to need that for that book you've been telling us about that you're going to write someday. And he said, man, he said, you've been telling us for years this MyPillow thing is just a platform for God, and you're going to quit all your addictions someday, and you're going to come back and help us all get out of this addiction lifestyle we live. And he says, we're not going to let you die on us. Now, by the way, two of those dealers work for me, and they're born-again Christians.
Praise God.
And this whole network has come to fruition that I'm doing now, that whole platform. But now I'm going to fast forward real quick. At the end of 2008, my friend came to me. I call him my hope match. He came to me. He was my equal. We had both done cocaine at the same time, both started crack at the same time, and he was both functioning addicts all our lives. Well, he had found the Lord 4 years earlier, and I hadn't seen him in 4 years, and I'm at the end of my rope. I had nothing going on. I mean, I'm nothing. I'm out of possessions. It's my pillow was just a little blip on the radar. I'm in this abandoned house staring at the ceiling. He comes in, he goes, what's going on? I go, Dick, how you doing? He goes, I go, what are you doing here? He goes, the Lord led me here. He says, you tell me what's going on. I said, well, as long as you're here, I said, I got some questions for you. My first question was, is it boring? He said, no, man, it ain't boring. And I'm telling you, he answered questions for an hour that only he could answer. I call that a hope match, and I'll tell you, I asked him about God, I asked him about, you know, being off a drug, everything you could imagine, because I respected his opinion because he gave me hope because he was my equal in every way. Well, anyway, a month later, I actually quit overnight on January 16, 2009. I had one prayer to God. I said, and I made sure I didn't have any possessions left or whatever, so it would be, you know, I knew it would be the greatest comeback ever with God, all things are possible, that type thing. But I prayed to God. I said, I want to wake up in the morning and never have the desire again, and then I'll do this platform thing. So it was kind of like a deal. And I didn't get on my knees to surrender. I just made that deal. I woke up the next day, and the desires were gone. And I'm
telling
you, that was a miracle in itself. That was a miracle. But 2 months later, I ended up going. I felt led to go to a faith-based treatment center at my church. And in that center, it was something I'd never been to before. I'd been to secular treatment all my life, but I said, in here, they asked about my father. I said, well, I come from a divorced family. And they talked about these wounds from childhood, and they were trying to replace them with God, with Jesus, with restoring your heart, these wounds. Well, it planted good seeds once again, and now I'll really fast forward for the sake of time, but two years went by, and I'm getting my pillow back, and I'm just the shows back that have been taken from me. Finally, I told my friends and family, I said, let's do an infomercial, pool all our money. It's going to be the biggest one in the world ever. And I didn't know infomercials don't work. It's just to get in the box stores, which had already turned us down. Well, we pulled all our money, and they said, you're going to need an actor, and there was all these naysayers. This will never work. And in fact, we went in to film it to do our reads the night before, and this producer from California text the other guy when we were doing our reads. He said, this guy's the worst guy I ever seen. He'll never make it on TV. The guy goes, he's paying you. Just go with it. And the next day I couldn't even talk with all these people. And I said, can we just take away the teleprompter and bring in a table? And let's just do it like I did at the shows. We did that, and it aired October 7, 2011. In the middle of the night, I was living in my sister's basement. I had 10 employees, and 40 days later, I had 500. It just exploded.
Wow.
You know, but by the summer of 2014, we were within 2 days of going under. And I met a gal, this Kendra, and we're still together this day, but I met her, and she had something I didn't have. She had a personal relationship with Jesus. And I said, well, I believe in God. And anyway, she said to pray for favor and all this, and we did, and I ended up doing a one-minute commercial that failed, but then I went in it, and it exploded again, and once again, my pillow just went huge, horizontal and vertical. And so then a bunch of miracles started happening to me that it could only be God. You know, my friends see me sitting next to the President of the United States on TV going, what is this crack addict doing on TV with the President? This can only be Jesus is real, because there's no way that that's possible. Things like this.
I thought you were going to say, they said, who's that guy with Mike Lindell?
No, but it was crazy. There's things. I got invited to the National Prayer Breakfast, not even saved yet, and I get picked out of 12 people to pray with Ben Carson in a room.
Wow.
I was still running for president, and in that room, a guy prophesied. He said, a couple of you in this room are going to become great friends and change the course of history. And I'm thinking, well, one of them is me, but I didn't know the other one's Ben. We're like best friends now, and it did change. We are doing all these changes right now and be a part of this, make the biggest revival in history. Well, 2 months later after that, I went to a thing called Operation Restored Warrior. It was actually just for veterans, and I'm not a veteran. But I went in there with hope. And I came, and on the second day, on February 18, 2017, I did a full surrender to Jesus. I got on my knees. He's the chairman of my board now. It was just a peaceful feeling I can't even describe. All my anxiety, all my worries gone. But here's the thing. A month and a half later, here's a guy that couldn't talk to people and fear is public speaking for sure beyond anything you ever seen. I'm at U.S. Bank Stadium speaking to 50,000 millennials and do it for five to seven minutes. 2 weeks after that, me and my granddaughter at this amusement park, and all these millennials kept coming up to me going, your talk saved my life. I found Jesus and all this. But it was just like those people that came back to that booth. It confirmed that I was on the right path now. And like Proverbs 3:5-6.
Praise God.
Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understandings, and always acknowledge him and he will guide your path.
Praise
and
God.
That's my story.
Well, we do have a couple of questions that I'll try to squeeze in before you have to leave us today. We have Bob in White Plains, who says, how does God's Word play a role in your daily life as a CEO?
It plays everything. It's like he's chairman of the board. One of the things, too, we pray about everything I do, every big move I make, every move, all of my decisions come, you know, are based on that. I mean, I'm not shy about anything. I put it out there. And by the way, in my best day ever, they say at my pillow is always the day we're in. God rewards me that I'm doing the right things. And one of the things, I went all in for the president in 2016 after I had met him. I didn't know anything about politics. I met him in a private meeting. I got back to Minnesota, and I felt it was God wanted me to do this. And I went and my board says, you're going to lose half our business. You can't get political. and I walked out of that board meeting, and my CMO came out and said, we didn't get all this way by you not listening to God. I said, you're right. And I went back in that board meeting and said, we didn't get all this way by me not listening to God. I'm going to do that press release. And man, was I attacked. I get attacked all the time, but let me tell you, my busiest day, God just rewards, and I keep, and everyone needs to stand up for what they believe, and they need to stand up for their faith. And, you know, this is, we're in spiritual warfare now beyond belief in this country, and this is not a time to sit by and go, okay, I'm going to go to church on Sunday and clear my conscience and the rest of the week do nothing. We all need to speak out now.
Amen. Well, Bob, give us your full mailing address there in White Plains, New York, because you've won a free copy of Mike Lindell's autobiography. We've also got Nick from St. Petersburg, Florida, on the email here. And he says, as an addict, what was the pivotal point in your way of thinking that you believe allowed you to become a successful business owner? A pivotal point in your way of thinking, he says.
Well, you know, I've always had the entrepreneur, the drive. I think some of the, addiction, let me tell you, all the addicts out there, they know addiction's hard work. It's some of the hardest work there is. So if you get set free from addiction, I mean, they say to me all the time, Mike, man, you work so hard. I'm not working. I'm enjoying it. And it's addiction's hard work. This isn't hard work. And a pivotal point I've always wanted to be, you know, I think success, you know, it all comes down to, you know, your self-worth, how you feel inside. And you got to do something you're passionate about. But you got to, when you match your calling, there's nothing better in life. When you match your calling, what God has called you to do, if that's a match, it's just amazing. I can't say enough about it. And I guess I always knew, you know, that I had a calling. I didn't realize it would end up being this big. But I think my story, that's the big thing, having this platform. Like I told those dealers back then, you know, I do now, I have the Lindell Recovery Network. That whole thing, when that launches, is set up by Hope Matches. When you see other successes, you go, how did they do it? And how did they make it through? And then if you're an entrepreneur, anything out there that you, I always talk about, you better look at them deviations, because every deviation, if it's good or bad, if it's good, you better focus on it and duplicate it. If it's bad, you better learn from it and fix it. And just don't let it sit idly by. You got to learn from your mistakes and learn from the good things too.
Okay, Nick, get us your full address, because you've also won the book. And lastly, we don't have time for any more than one more. Grady in Asheboro, North Carolina, wants to know the hardest decision you had to make about your business.
You know, the hardest decision, when I make a decision, I make it and I'm all in. I usually only have a plan A. I don't have a plan B. I'm going to succeed. I'm going to drive, you know, get through it. You know, I don't really know the hardest decision I ever had to make. People would say, oh, it's when you went all in for the president or when you went all in for God. You know, those weren't hard decisions. I just did it. I guess one of the hardest decisions I ever had to make was the spring of 14. I had made all kinds of mistakes not following God's lead in business, and I had to lay off hundreds of employees, some that had been here, and I had made some critical errors, and I was in tears watching them leave. And that was the hardest one, bar none. I guess that would have been the hardest thing I had to do, was that spring of 2014, watching people carry their drawers out there with all their stuff in their drawers. And I can still put my back in that spot. But I vowed that day too to come roaring back and hire them all back. And that meant anyone that wanted hired back got hired back.
Wow.
That happened a couple of times.
Praise God.
So that, you know, that drove me to that too. So it turned out God uses bad for good too.
Amen. Well, by the way, Grady, you also won a free book. So send us your full mailing address in Asheboro, North Carolina. I went to recovery myself, to Hebron Colony in Boone, North Carolina. I sing their praises whenever I get the chance. Their website is hebroncolony.org. How can people find out more about the Lindell Recovery Network that you're working on?
Well, right now you can go to therethreturn.org, and if you donate even $25 there, you get a free copy of my book. But you can go to the Lindell Recovery Network or go to MichaelJamesLindell.com. You can Google my name. It's not up there yet, but it's going to be launching on the day of the return, which is this coming weekend. I'm going to be speaking to 1.1 billion with a B people.
Wow.
200,000 people on the mall in Washington, D.C. It's going to be the biggest day in history it's the National Day of Repentance and Revival. The National Day of Prayer and Repentance, because then after that we're going to have the revival. That's the day I'm launching the Lindell Recovery Network, and it'll be the talk everywhere. And I can tell you right now, until it's launched, everybody should be looking for your hope match. If you're an addict out there, you look at somebody that's made it through, and you go to them and find out how they did it, and you're going to find out that was Jesus.
So that's therethreturn.org?
Org, yeah. You guys will be putting in for as little as $25. You get a free copy of my book. I'm donating it all to them. It's going to be the biggest thing that this is the start of the greatest revival. We're in the best times to live in history, because we're all part of the greatest revival ever in biblical history. And I'm telling you, people don't look for hope unless there's something that, you know, there's been something that's gone bad, like addiction, like this pandemic. and that hope is Jesus, it's going to be amazing. So thereturn.org.
Great. Well, I'm so glad that you put the word repentance, or whoever came up with the name of the event, put the word repentance in there, because so many of our national and global evangelical events and outreaches don't even believe in such a thing as repentance, and I'm so delighted that you have that right in the name of the event.
Absolutely, and you can't ever, I don't believe you can have a Bible without repentance.
Amen, amen.
And there, that repentance, and we've even got it into the president. We got it into him, and hopefully he declares it that. We haven't had a day declared like that since Abraham Lincoln did it.
Wow.
And so we do this, and I'll tell you, it's going to be, you can look it up at return.org. You can see where to watch it, how to get involved. Every hundreds of thousands of churches are going to be involved. Like I say, it's televised to 1.1 billion people with a B. Now, I'm going to be a little nervous talking up there, so everybody pray for me. Yeah.
Well, Mike, I hope that you return to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I hope that we can get you on, if not for 2 hours, which was what I originally hoped for, at least an hour, because, as you can see, time went by too fast.
Yeah, absolutely. And we get past... We get past this election, which is the most important election of our lifetime, affects everything we do with our faith, and anyway, we get past that, I'll have all kinds of time, and even sometime in October, too, I might have some good time, but right now it's just a scheduling, but I love what I'm doing, spreading the word, and God bless you all, and I'll come on anytime I can.
You know, it's interesting. I have interviewed some of the most world-renowned theologians and scholars and authors, and I don't think I've gotten my audience nearly as excited as when they learned you were coming on.
Oh, wow.
The emails that...
I think it's the relatable thing. You know, I'm relatable. I come from... I've ate with no forks and four forks and everything in between, you know. And I think people can relate to that. It's just, once again, it gives people hope, my story. And my story, I wouldn't change a thing in my life if I wasn't where I'm at right now to be able to tell that story, to tell how it is now, how my heart being restored, how it is to be with Jesus. And
amen.
And so we need, so.
Well, I've been getting inundated with emails from people who are thrilled that you were going to be on today, and I just thank God that.
Oh, that's awesome. God bless them all, and I'm praying for all of you out there that we're going to get through this. We get through all this, we're going to look back and say, wow, it had to happen because we had the repentance and then the greatest revival in history. So,
amen. Well, thank you so much, Mike Lindell. And don't forget, folks, it's thereturn.org, thereturn.org, to find out more about the event and about getting Mike Lindell's autobiography, What Are the Odds? From Crack Addict to CEO. God bless you, Mike Lindell.
God bless. Thank you. Yep.
God bless. Okay, folks, don't go away, because we are going to be back momentarily after these words from our sponsors.
Chris Arnes and host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned us in, our second guest today is Mike Gadosh. He is the founder of Solid Ground Christian Books, a premier, a vital sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And we're going to be talking about the best in Christian literature that is now available in print. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Mike Gaidosh.
Hey, Chris. How are you today?
I am doing much better than I deserve, brother, as always.
I did you get the pillows taken care of?
No, but I heard an excellent interview and was involved with an excellent interview with Mike Lindell. And yep. just to let you know, folks, Mike Lindell has provided many copies of his autographed autobiography to give away, and we were only able to give away three because he was so busy he had to cut his interview down to a half hour. So anybody that sends in a question today will receive a free copy of Mike's autobiography, even if it is obviously not going to be a question for Mike Lindell, since he's already off the air. So your questions obviously will be for Mike Gaidosh, our guest now. And in the last half hour, we've got Bill Nichols, who's going to be talking about his book on Judas Iscariot. And we'll be giving away that book as well to listeners. But I'm excited to hear about what you've got in store for your readers when it comes to new books in print. And then when I say new books in print, I don't necessarily mean that they were written recently. They could have been written centuries ago, but they are new in print with Solid Ground Christian Books.
Yeah, actually, I decided that I was going to start off by sharing a book that I don't know that I've talked about before. It's actually, and this was in honor of Mike and his interview, even though he didn't talk about his pillows. Everybody knows him as the Pillow Man. So I have published a book entitled Little Pillows and Morning Bells by Francis Ridley Havergal. And I wanted to share a little bit about that. It's a book for children, but it is a book that anyone can read and benefit from. Havergal was a lady that was born in England, and she was born in 1836, died in 1851, and she died at the age of 42 in 1879. I actually got to stand outside her home in Swansea, Wales, when I visited Wales and ministered in Wales some years ago. And she was a remarkable woman, came to faith in Christ at the age of 14. She was a brilliant woman. Her scholastic achievements included proficiency in several modern languages in addition to Latin, Greek, and Hebrew. And she was thoroughly trained in linguistics and music, was a pianist and singer. And she was also a devoted Bible student. She memorized the entire New Testament, as well as the Book of Psalms and the prophet Isaiah and the minor prophets. And she wrote several books. She wrote over 100 hymns, many hymns which are still sung to this day. Of course, sadly, in the modern church, there are not many hymns that are being sung. But those churches that still sing hymns, I think many of them would sing hymns that were written by Francis Ridley Havergal. And she wrote two books called Little Pillows and Morning Bells, and I combined them and put them in one volume. It was one of the earlier books that I published, actually. And she wrote the book Little Pillows to be a pillow upon which a child can rest before they go to bed at night. And she would take a text of Scripture, and then she would bring that to the child and then would speak about that passage. Would it be okay if I just read one of those?
Oh, of course.
The very first chapter in the book called Little Pillows is entitled The Invitation. Come unto me, Matthew 11:28. And then she begins, "What kind, sweet words for your pillow tonight. Jesus says them to you. How am I to know? Well, they are for everyone that is weary and heavy laden. Do not you know what it is to be weary and tired sometimes? Perhaps you know what it is to feel almost tired of trying to be good, weary with wishing you could be better. So you see, it is to you that he says, come. And if you have not yet come,
you are heavy laden too, even if you do not feel it, because the burden of sin is heavy enough to sink you down into hell, unless Jesus takes it from you. So it is to you that he says, come. Isn't that interesting that she would begin her book to little children by laying out the warning of sinking down into hell unless you come to Jesus? Unless you should think, he says it to grown-up people only. Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me. Are you a little child? Then it is to you that he says, come. And if he were here, and if I could see him, I would come. He is here, as really and truly as you are. Suppose your mother and you were in a dark room together and she said, come to me. You would not stop and say, I would come if I could see you. You would say, I'm coming, mother, and you would soon feel your way across the room and be safe by her side. Not seeing her would not make any difference. Jesus calls you now, this very night. He is here, in this very room. Now will you not say, I am coming, Lord Jesus? And ask him to stretch out his hand and help you to come, and draw you quite close to himself? Yes, to himself, the blessed, beloved Lord Jesus, who loved you and gave himself for you, who has waited so patiently, who calls you because he wants you to come and be his own little lamb, and be taken up in his arms and be blessed. Will you keep him waiting any longer? Will you not come? Will you not come to him for life? Why will ye die? Oh, why? He gave his life for you, for you. The gift is free. The word is true. Will you not come? Oh, why will you die? There are 31 chapters, each with one verse that she urges the child to memorize, to meditate upon, and then gives a devotion. And then she has a second book that's a companion called Morning Bells. And Morning Bells, it's a passage that she gives to help a child wake up. In fact, she has a little preface in the second volume called Morning Bells, and she said, most of the readers of this little book will have already read Little Pillows. Those were given you to go to sleep upon night after night, sweet soothing texts that little hearts might rest upon. But in the morning, we want something to arouse us, to help us to go brightly and bravely through the day. So here are Morning Bells to waken up little hearts and to remind them that we must not only rest in Jesus, but walk in him. If the motto of Little Pillows might be, come unto Jesus, the motto of Morning Bells might be, follow Jesus. May he who loves the little ones bless this tiny effort to help them to follow him day by day.
Great.
So those are two books, and there's also a third volume that she wrote. In fact, it was a book that was intended to be another two volumes, and that book is called Morning Stars, and the subtitle is Names of Christ for His Little Ones. And what's interesting about this is that in the prefatory note written by her sister in September of 1879, this is what it says. Just a week before my dear sister Frances died, I took her letters upstairs. Her pretty kittens, Trot and Dot, were playing on her bed. She was too ill to care about her letters, but was so pleased to get the first page of this book. She looked at it carefully, and with her pencil corrected mistakes. Then she was anxious that every reader should have space to add the verses and asked me to write about it. May I say that she hoped you would read one chapter each day. My dear sister intended writing another book for you, Evening Stars, or Promises for Little Ones. But though she is now gone, the promises are left. Will you not search them out in your Bible every evening and just say, as she often did, this promise is so bright, and it is for me. Now, what's interesting about this book is there are 31 chapters again, because they always would do 31, one for each day of the month. And then what she did in this book is she would give the chapter, like John chapter 2, but then leave a blank space. And the child was to look up the verse and write in the verse number. So it would cause them to have to spend a little bit more time going to their Bibles and finding exactly what passage it was that she was referring to. And some of the Morning Stars, which are the names of Christ, that she lists here are things like Savior, Bright and Morning Star, Friend, Brother, Redeemer, Master, Physician, Substitute, Shepherd, Passover, Intercessor, Unspeakable Gift, Leader, Commander, Head, Light, Life, Rock, Righteousness, Captain, Apostle, High Priest, Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Messiah, Judge, Hope, Himself. It's always wonderful to have these old books that focus only and always and entirely on Christ. That was the goal of the great writers, always in the past, was to write in such a way that Christ was the centerpiece of all that you would read. I remember Spurgeon said of Robert Hawker, whose commentaries I have published, the poor man's commentary set, 10-volume set, he said of Hawker that there were times when Brother Hawker might find Jesus where he was not, but there are worse faults in a commentator. In other words, Hawker would tend to find Jesus in places. He would look for Jesus everywhere in the Bible, and sometimes he might claim to find him where he wasn't. But as Spurgeon said, that's not a bad fault to have as a commentator.
In fact, we've got to go to our midway break right now.
Alrighty.
And if anybody wants to join us with a question for Mike of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. This is our longer than normal break, so please be patient with us. We have to have a longer break in the middle of the show because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle so that we can air public service announcements for Grace Life Radio that are local to Lake City, Florida. And while they are airing those local public service announcements, we are airing our globally heard commercials. So please use this time wisely. Write down as much of the information as you can for as many of our advertisers as you can so that you can more frequently and successfully patronize our advertisers. Because remember, folks, we depend upon our advertisers to exist. So the happier they are, since you will be responding to them, the more likely they're going to renew their contracts and remain on the air with us so that we can remain on the air. But also send in questions to Mike Gaydosh, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages with more of Mike Gaydosh.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Here's what Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, had to say about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio recently.
Good to be back, Chris. I always enjoy our time. I have to say, you're one of the better interviewers out there, and I've been doing this for more than 30 years.
Wow, that's some compliment. How much do I owe you for that?
you don't have to owe me anything. So we're in good shape.
I'm glad you said it on the air, so I don't have to brag about myself.
Tell your friends and loved ones about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, airing live Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time at IronSharpensIronRadio.com.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor, or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. But Afuco and Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Bud Afuco and Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And Mike Gadosh, the founder of Solid Ground Christian Books, is our guest today, and we're going to be returning to his interview momentarily. But first, we just have a couple of important announcements to make. If you love this show, folks, and you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, please immediately go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. We are in urgent need of your generosity on your donations because we lost our two largest financial supporters in the midst of the hysteria subsequent to the coronavirus pandemic. Their businesses, the businesses owned by these two supporters were hit so hard financially that they had to at least temporarily back off from any further donations to our show. So we hope that's just temporary. We don't know that. But until they return, we're asking you to go overtime or do overtime and be more generous than ever by going to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. And never take away from the money that you're giving to your own local church every month in order to give to us. Never put your family in financial jeopardy to give to us if you're really struggling to survive. Those two things are commands of God, and providing for my show is obviously not a command of God. But if you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, and you love the show, and you don't want it to disappear, please help us. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, Then click to donate now, and donate as frequently and as generously as you can. Also, folks, if you are in need of a church home, I have lists of biblically faithful churches all over the planet Earth and have helped many people find churches, sometimes just a couple of minutes from where they live that they didn't even know existed. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to Mike Gadosh of Solid Ground Christian Books. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. We have a mutual friend, and I'll give his full name since he also is a publisher. We have Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, who asks, has the contemporary self-publishing movement destroyed traditional publishing? And would you counsel most self-published authors to not quit their day job?
Well, Joe knows by experience that that's the case, because it's been a challenge. I think that the self-publishing, many publishers have gone out of business, as Joe would know, and I think that it is a challenging time. I know that for a time, e-books was beginning to cause the printed page to take a big hit, but that seems to have kind of, I wouldn't say it's completely passed by, but I think that there are still a multitude of people who prefer to read a book and to hold a book in their hands than to read something online or on their pad or whatever. So I don't know that part of it is a problem, but it is a challenge now, especially in the Reformed community, because we're already a subset of a subset, and so we're not expecting that our books are going to be selling in the hundreds of thousands. I wish they would. Maybe one day they will, but right now, you know, we would count our books more in the thousands. We sell some don't even sell that much, but I've never published a book just because, in fact, I've never published a book because I expected it to sell large amounts of books. I have always published books that I felt were needed for the time, faithful books. Joe himself published a book that I recently republished for him, God Chose to Save, which is one of our newer titles. And it's an excellent primer, you might call it, a primer on the doctrine of election and predestination. It's a really nice companion volume with John Sampson's book, The 12 Whatabouts, having to do with the doctrine of election as well. And so if you're interested in looking into the subject of predestination and election, Joe and John's books would be a nice combination to get. And I've got actually a third volume that I've added to a trilogy on election by Warfield on predestination and election, Thoughts on Predestination and Election. And all three of those together at a very, very reasonable price. So you can look to that. If I could just take a minute, I wanted to share a couple things, Chris. First of all, let me ask you this, Chris. How are you doing physically? I know many of us I've been praying for you and have been concerned ever since your episode. How are you doing right now?
Well, just so those that are unfamiliar with happened to me don't have all kinds of nightmarish things going on in their head by the term episode.
Well, it was an episode.
Yeah, so no, but they might not know anything about it. They might think I was out in an alley ODing on crack or something. But
no.
I had congestive heart failure. And also had the double whammy of being diagnosed during the same emergency room examination with diabetes. So not only do I have to give up high salt content in my food, but also high sugar and carb content. So eating is not the joy that it once was for me. But the only thing I can say is, as far as how I am doing, and I can only base this on how I feel and what the cardiologist said in my last visit, which was just about, I guess, 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
I'm feeling much better than I felt before I went into the hospital, because I can walk great lengths of distance without feeling any discomfort or fatigue at all.
That's great.
Where the reason I went into the hospital is because I couldn't even climb the staircase to my apartment without having to stop and catch my breath, which was something that never happened before. So that was during the 3 weeks before my friends, Susan, who led me to Christ, and her second oldest son, Joe, were urging me and taking, not taking no for an answer, to go to get examined by a doctor immediately, which I did, and which is the reason I wound up in the hospital. And I really owe them my life, I think. My cardiologist was very pleased with everything that he saw from the exam. Now, keep in mind, he only took an EKG during this exam. He did not do a catheter examination that has a full-blown, close-up photographs of my heart, as they did in the emergency room. But he was just very impressed. He looked like he was surprised with how impressed he was. So that's the only thing I can base.
Weight did you lose?
I lost 70 pounds.
Yeah, wow.
And a number of pant sizes.
I would hope, yeah. Wow. Well, we're encouraged. We're encouraged to see the progress. We're very thankful that your friends were true friends in forcing you to do what you needed to do. And sadly, we sometimes let ourselves go and don't pay attention to the warning signs that the Lord is giving us. So I'm glad that you're doing so much better. Let me take just a couple minutes. I know I've only got a few minutes left, but I just wanted to mention two things. One of them is an incredible special deal that I'm offering right now. I've actually got two of them that I'm going to highlight. One is any Christian will recognize the importance of two books in the Old Testament on a daily basis, and those would be the book of Psalms and the book of Proverbs. And I have right now an opportunity to get, and I just found out just minutes ago that the special offer that I'm making is kind of short term, because I won't be able to get these prices again. I got a great, great deal on two books. One is called Daily Wisdom from Proverbs, and it is a beautiful bonded leather, true tone volume that takes the book of Proverbs and divides it into 365 readings so that you work through the book of Proverbs in a year. And it's a very handy size, very comfortable little volume that can be used as a devotional tool. And it's just the text of Proverbs, but it's divided into daily readings in this beautiful volume that even comes in a slipcase. That list for $20, I'm selling it for $8. And then also, I have this is done by Crossway, by the way, and I also have the Journaling Psalter, which has the Book of Psalms. The text is on the left-hand page, and the right-hand page is a blank page with lines for you to be able to jot down notes for as you're studying through the book of Psalms. So these two, they're both true tone, bonded leather, beautiful, soft leather volumes. And that one lists for $30, and I'm selling it for $12. And if you get both of them together, it actually is just $18. They would list for $50, and you get them for $18. So it's over 60% off.
Wow.
That's one thing. The other is even more amazing, which is I have 22 volumes that I'm calling my overstock sale. And these 22 volumes, the retail price for these 22 volumes is about $400, and you can get them for $40. So that's 90% off. It includes such things as our bonded leather, 1689, and Baptist Catechism, our bonded leather, Three Forms of Unity, which is the Belgic Confession of Faith, the Heidelberg Catechism, and the Canons of Dort, as well as the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed and then Athanasian Creed. And both of those books are listing for $30 each. And then on top of that, we have a $40 Pilgrim's Progress Illustrated Edition that's included. We also have a $25 Lectures on Pilgrim's Progress, The Life and Times of Bunyan by George Cheever. We have such things as the Pilgrim's Progress, A Guided Tour by Derek Thomas. It's a DVD set that lists for $60 off a Ligonier. It's 19 lessons of 23 minutes long on Pilgrim's Progress. That's a $60 volume or $60 value. So, and then the Counsels and Thoughts on the Spiritual Life of Believers by Thomas Moore, which we have spoken about before. And many, many other titles, Thoughts for Young Men, and several others as well. But the total value of the package is $400 that we are offering for $40. And we have sold dozens and dozens of these sets, as you can imagine. But we are beginning to run low on some of the titles, and so I don't know how much longer I'm going to be able to do this. But those two are things that I would recommend people. They can get it for a church library. There are books for children. There's a whole variety of books that are in that packet. It's 22 books and booklets, 22 books and booklets, and again, the retail value is right around $400, and we're asking $40 plus $11.95 shipping, standard shipping.
So that's solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com. We've got to go to a station break before we have our final guest on today, Bill Nichols of International Outreach, who's going to be discussing his book on Judas Iscariot, Traitor. But before we go, we have Cynthia in Findlay, Ohio, who says, can you have Mike please repeat the name of those children's books he was reciting from, because I want to read them to my grandchildren.
Oh, yes. The one is called Little Pillows and Morning Bells. And the other is Morning Stars. Little Pillows and Morning Bells is the one book, and Morning Stars, they're both by Frances Havergal, and she can get those books at solid-ground-books.com. Just type in Havergal or Little Pillows. Just even type in the word pillows, it'll probably come up.
Well, Mike, it's always a joy to have you on the show. I look forward to your frequent return as a guest.
And thanks, Chris.
And I thank God for your financial support of this program. As I have repeatedly stated on this program, that without your generosity, we would likely not exist, barring a miracle of God. And we thank you for enabling us to remain on the air.
Love you, Chris.
Love you, too.
Doing better.
Love you, too.
Checks in the mail.
And I thank you for that more than anything.
All right, buddy. Love you. Bye-bye.
Love you, too. God bless. Well, folks, we're going to be returning momentarily after this final station break with Bill Nichols of International Outreach, and we're going to be discussing his book, Judas Iscariot, Traitor. So don't go away.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts,
and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. I also want to congratulate Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram for the recent appointment of Pastor Rich Jensen's co-elder, Pastor Christopher McDowell. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm author Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Dan Lebenick of West Hills Baptist Church in Huntington Station, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Reverend Buzz Taylor, author of God's Lawsuit, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Dr. William Webster, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Battleground, Washington, founder of the ministry Christian Resources. The NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Ryan Galan of Central Islip Community Church in Central Islip, New York. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brandon Smith of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Jackson, Georgia. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com, that's nasbible.com, to place your order.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402. Or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Welcome back. This is Chris Armsen. If you just tuned us in, our final guest today is William C. Nichols, the founder of International Outreach, and we are going to be discussing his book, Judas Iscariot, Traitor, Examining the Life and Death of Judas Iscariot. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, William C. Nichols.
Thank you very much. I'm pleased to be here and hope to answer some questions for people this half hour.
Great. If we could make this as brief as possible, because it is a tradition on my show that we have our first-time guests give a summary of their salvation testimony. If you could do that as well before we get into the heart of the book.
Sure. I was raised in a liberal Methodist church that when I was going to church in college, preached sermons mainly about the Vietnam War and the morality of it. And so I didn't see a whole lot of use in going to church. But I, in college, I was an athlete and got involved in some of the things that athletes get involved in. In the parks and teen, and it led me obviously the wrong way, and God used that really to show me how my heart really is. And the more I saw the wickedness of my heart, and my hand became clearer and clearer, I really fell under conviction increasingly. This process of conviction probably lasted about a year in me. And I really grew to despise myself and despise the life I was living. And I honestly hated myself. And I didn't know how to get out of that. But I remember one day, when I was at a party, one made fun of one of the other wrestlers who was a Christian, and I remember saying, I don't know what he's got, but I wish I had it. And it was later, maybe a month or two later after that, or maybe even longer than that, that I was confronted with the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I had been under conviction for about a year, and I embraced Jesus Christ as Lord, and my life radically changed that day. What there wasn't a few weeks or months or be a little better. My life radically changed that same day.
Praise God. We're going to go to our break, folks, and our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. If you have a question, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Don't go away. We're going to be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Welcome back, and we have online with us William C. Nichols, founder of International Outreach. We are going to begin our discussion now on his book, Judas Iscariot, Traitor. Are you there, Brother Bill?
Yes. Is this better?
Oh, yeah, much better, 100%.
Okay.
Now, what led you to even write this book on Judas Iscariot, the most infamous and wickedly notorious, or notoriously wicked, figure in the scriptures?
Well, to me, Judas is one of the most interesting people in the Bible, because we have here a man who traveled with and lived with Jesus Christ for about 3 years. He heard the parables and the teachings of Jesus, saw the miracles Jesus performed, saw the blind man see, the dead raised, feeding of the 5,000. Yet, with all he witnessed, it had no impact on him spiritually. In fact, it had the opposite effect. It drove him away from Jesus Christ to become a traitor. And to me, that fascinates me, to delve into that. There are many lessons, I believe, which can be learned from the life and death of Judas. There are practical things which we can learn and apply to our own lives. And I really felt led to expose and say something about Judas to counter the growing trend in today's church. Portray him in a sympathetic manner. He's often portrayed as a revolutionary patriot or someone whose motives were supposedly good but who made a mistake, or even as a dupe who was used and manipulated by the religious leaders. And I really, in the Bible he's called a traitor. And so I felt very much led to write about Judas and expose him as being the traitor that he was.
Yes, and as we have even discussed before this show, it is troubling to see how many people try to portray Judas in a sympathetic manner, including in a play, a theatrical performance I saw on the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ at a major Christian playhouse, where Judas was obviously being portrayed as an unwilling participant in the plan orchestrated by God himself. So it was more than him just being in this story that they concocted. It was more than him being a dupe of the religious leaders. He was the dupe of God in this performance, on being reluctantly obeying Christ all the way in the betrayal of Christ. He was really betraying Christ by Christ's own orders and design. And we know it was by design, by a sovereign God, but he was not an unwilling participant, as this play pictured him.
No, no, I would agree with you very much on that.
Well, we do have some listeners who have some questions. We have John in Bangor, Maine, who says, some have said, since the New Testament refers to Judas as having repented, that he will be with us in heaven one day. I strongly disagree with them, but can you articulate in a more clear fashion on this issue?
Sure. I'll try. The Greek word in Matthew 27:3 literally means regret. And in the New American Standard, it is felt remorse. It's not the same Greek word, metanoia, which is used primarily for genuine repentance. When John the Baptist says repent, for instance, in Matthew 3:2, the word is metanoia. And so Judas regretted what he had done, but self-despair is not repentance. Self-despair arises out of an extremely difficult situation where a person sees no way of escape. And, you know, Judas, when he feels regret, he doesn't go to the apostles and confess his sins. He doesn't go to God and cry out to God for help. He goes to the chief priest. And he tries to return the money, but I think that was more his own guilt than anything else. But the words are not the same. And there's significant difference between godly sorrow and worldly sorrow, which is spoken of in 2 Corinthians 7:10. And, you know, I don't know whether you want me to go into that or not, but that would be a lengthy discussion, but I would say selfish repentance is sorrow for sin on account of its consequences. True repentance is sorrow for sin on account of its own evil nature.
Amen. And there will be many people in hell who had great sorrow over what they did, but they never repented. They never in any way truly paid the price in an earthly sense of what repentance costs many Christians. And it's just a tragedy that people will uphold him as somebody who is a brother in Christ who we will see in eternity if we are saved.
In relation to that too, you go and you look at the scriptures, what we learn about Judas, we need to learn from the scriptures. In John 6, Jesus calls him a devil. In John 12, John calls him a thief. In John 17, he's called the son of perdition by Christ. And it says he perished. Jesus says in Matthew 26, it would have been good for that man if he had not been born. And in every list of the apostles, in three of the gospels that list the apostles, Judas is mentioned last. He's called a traitor by Luke, by Mark, the one who betrayed him, and Matthew, the same thing, the one who betrayed him.
And so, those words of Christ that you cited, that it would have been better for him never to have been born, at least that's the one of the versions that I have in front of me, that it would have been better for him never to have been born. That could never be spoken of about a person who will be in heaven. That is, it can't be truthfully spoken, especially by Jesus Christ, who never uttered a lie in his life and was never wrong about anything. He could never say that about a person who is going to be in heaven.
That's correct.
We do. In fact, you just touched on something about everything that we should believe about Judas as far as taking it as inerrant truth is in the scriptures. But we do have a question from Grady in Asheboro, North Carolina, who says, do we know anything about Judas outside of the Holy Scriptures?
Well, there are traditions, and there are ancient writings, which are not reliable. And I do go into those in the first chapter of the book, but they are not authoritative, nor are they reliable, and some of them, some of the traditions I ran into border on the ridiculous. So what we know, we have to glean from the scriptures themselves. And I would say we do know what the scriptures teach about the human heart. We know what the scriptures teach about the depravity of man and how the human heart works, including the unconverted heart. We published a book called Knowing the Heart, which had a large number of sermons by Jonathan Edwards about the heart of man. And so we do know about the heart of man as revealed in the scriptures, and we can apply those to Judas because he was unconverted.
By the way, Grady, you have won a free copy of this book, Judas Iscariot, Traitor. So give us your full mailing address so that cvbbs.com, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, can ship you that free copy that you've just won. In fact, I would just want to make sure I say this before we run out of time, that cvbbs.com, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, is offering a 50% discount to anyone purchasing this book. So I'm sure that this is going to be a limited time offer. They did not tell me a time frame, but I would purchase that book as soon as you can to make sure you get the discount. and also that goes for John in Bangor, Maine, who sent in a question earlier. You got a free copy as well coming to you, so make sure we have your full mailing address. We have CJ from Lindenhurst, Long Island, New York, who wants to know, is there any indication in the scriptures that the other apostles were wondering if Judas was the one who was going to betray Christ, at least before his betrayal of Christ in the garden?
No, I don't think they had a clue. There's no indication in the scriptures at all when Jesus said, truly, truly, I say unto you, one of you shall betray me. They didn't all say, point at Judas and say, he's the guy. You know, they did not know.
So he was living in a way, outwardly, I should say, publicly, that was led the other disciples to believe that he was a bona fide Christian.
Sure. Certainly was.
And by the way, everybody who is sending in questions in the limited time that we have left, you are going to receive a free copy of this book on Judas, so make sure you send us your full mailing address if we read your question on the air, that is, because we're rapidly running out of time. We have Richard in Lawrence, Kansas, who's also a first-time questioner. What can a study on Judas teach us about evangelism? That's interesting.
Well, I think it can teach us a lot about evangelism, because a lot of evangelism today is the repeat the words of this prayer evangelism, or admit you are a sinner, and then admitting I am a sinner is enough to quote repent. That's a fallacy. Just because a person admits they're a sinner, that doesn't really mean anything. The thief knows he's sinning, but he doesn't care because his goal is to enrich himself. An adulterer or adulteress know they're sinning, but their goal is self-serving pleasure, and that outweighs their guilt. So a person, you know, a liar, when he lies, knows he's sinning, but that really doesn't mean that he regrets his sinning at all. So admitting you're a sinner, which is the standard formula for most evangelistic tracts that I personally don't use and don't like, is not enough. It's not repentance. It's just an acknowledgement that, hey, I know I'm a sinner. Judas knew he was a sinner. Pharaoh knew he was a sinner. Even Ahab knew he was a sinner. But they were all unconverted people.
Well, thank you, Richard. Make sure we get your address, because you've also won as a first-time questioner not only the book on Judas, but you've also won a free New American Standard Bible. And they will be shipped out to you by cvbbs.com if you give us your full mailing address. We have Bobby in Hartsdale, New York, who says some people have used the fact that the scriptures only speak of a limited number of people who have committed suicide, and they were wicked, unrepentant people like King Saul, who fell on his sword, and Judas, who hung himself. They use this as proof that no one who commits suicide will be in heaven. I happen to disagree with that, because I believe the blood of Christ will cover the sins of his elect. I'm not saying that those two aforementioned people were the elect, but I'm just saying it doesn't. Their deaths do not rule out all deaths by suicide lead to hell. What is your opinion?
There is a chapter in the book about that, on the suicide of Judas Iscariot. I think in many cases, those who do commit suicide fall into self-despair, and just as Judas did, and may not be Christians at all, and there are others who profess to be Christians and may have followed the evangelistic outline that I just talked about a few minutes ago. I'm not ruling that out entirely, that a person could commit suicide and be a true believer, but I think it's rare. That's my own personal opinion, because in the Bible, those who committed suicide were obviously unbelievers.
Right. But as you said, it is possible, because we even have circumstances where people are on medications that have created the urge for suicide, or have led them to such despair because of the drugs they're taking, that they have done this, and they possibly would not have done this if they were not on these drugs. I'm not saying this as to condone or to refute the legitimacy of using any kind of medications for depression and other things, but I'm just saying that this does happen. I think that
I'm not denying that, and the Puritans used the words "except for the case of self-distraction." That's how they described it, where someone was so messed up in their mind that they did something that normally they would not have done. So.
Right. We only have about 4 minutes left, and I'd like you to really have that time uninterrupted to summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners about Judas Iscariot before we go off the air today.
Well, I think it's important that we acknowledge that scriptures clearly portray Judas as a traitor. And that the literature, which has been the basis for a lot of what churches now teach, were primarily written in the 1800s, where the position switched from one of acknowledging this man as a traitor and a wicked, vile man, to a sympathetic view of Judas. I think, too, it's important to realize that there are people in the church today who are just like Judas. They don't know it, but they love money more than God, and they love things more than God. And I think we really need to be aware that Judas was an apostle. Well, I think there are probably elders in churches who are in the same state as Judas. I think it's Judas stands as a warning to all future generations that a man can be a church leader and be a hypocrite. And also, a person's environment nor his religious privileges were enough to change his heart. Judas had the greatest religious privileges in the world, and it didn't change his heart. And maybe to look at Judas's repentance. Judas's repentance, although it was false, surpasses many of the people who are in the church today. And that's a frightening thing.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead.
No, go ahead and wrap up what you were going to say.
Well, I think these are all our warning signs that a person can be unconverted, be in church leadership, and yet be not know it and go to hell.
Right, because just as you said earlier, we have no indication the apostles who labored alongside Judas very closely, we have no indication that they had any hint that he was a false apostle and convert.
No.
Well, I look forward to future returns to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio by you as a guest, and for hopefully a longer period of time, because we're already out of time. But I want to make sure that our listeners have all of the contact information they need to take advantage of your ministry and the book. First of all, International Outreach has a website, intoutreach.org, intoutreach.org. You can also purchase the book if you have not had the privilege of winning one today, or even if you've won one and you want to buy an extra copy or more copies to give out to your family, friends, and loved ones, you could purchase it for 50% off retail at cvbbs.com, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com. And please make sure that you tell them that you heard about this offer on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio with Chris Arnz, and otherwise you won't get the discount. So that's cvbbs.com. That is the website and also the phone number for cvbbs.com, which you can only call Monday through Friday between 10 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. That's you can only call it during those hours and days if you want to get a response, because they have no voicemail on that line, nor does anybody answer it outside of those hours. The phone number is 800-656-0231, 800-656-0231. That's Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And I want to thank you so much, Bill Nichols, for being our guest today. I want to thank Mike Gadosh for being the individual that actually urged me to interview Bill on his book on Judas Iscariot. And Mike Gadosh's website for Solid Ground Christian Books is solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com. By the way, folks, especially those in my audience who are Anglican or Episcopalian, you might be interested to know that tomorrow we have another first-time guest. We have Peter Robinson, who is the Archbishop of the United Episcopal Church of North America, which is a biblically faithful denomination adhering to the scriptures as their only inerrant authority, and they also are an Episcopal denomination that adheres to the 39 articles of religion, which is a biblically faithful creed or confession that is in harmony with the other great confessions of the Reformation. He will be our guest tomorrow. And our theme is going to be the fall of the Episcopal Church and the rise of biblically faithful Episcopal bodies, such as the United Episcopal Church of North America. I want to thank everybody who has been on my program today. I want to thank everybody who listened, especially those who took the time to write. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.